All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who competes at BKFC 50, which goes down on September the 22nd, and a very intriguing bout going on in the welterweight ranks as Christian Torres and Andrew Yates knuckle up and toe the line, and great getting to have Andrew on the show. How's your day going there, man?
Good. Just got done with one of the workouts, and now got some time to myself until the next workout.
Yeah, for sure. Seems like you're definitely putting in that work for sure. And I was noticing something like a bit after your last fight, I think it was, you were kind of mulling over what the next, you know, task would be. And it seemed like you were really looking at like either 155 or, you know, 165. Like, why did you ultimately lean towards a 165 bout here? Was it ultimately just what was offered to you, or?
You know, really badly. Let me see if I can take that off.
I'll just reiterate the question. So I was noticing that you were a bit after one of your last fights kind of mulling over whether 155 or 165 would be next. Like, what was it about, you know, 165 that it became the next step? Was it just like the bout offer you got, or?
Yeah, it was that offer I got. I bounced around from 155 to 165. When I'm active and in camp, I walk a good 175. I'm not like shredded. I'm not like my opponent who has abs on abs. I'm not a shredded guy. I like to eat my Cheetos and get my carbs in, you know? So if I'm not active, my weight starts to get up there, and I start to, even if I'm working out, my weight just climbs no matter what, because I can't outwork my diet. And I'm one of the guys that has to be have a goal, and the goal for me is a fight, a date, something like that in mind to keep my weight down. So I would like to stay active after this fight, and I would like to fight at 45, maybe even 55s, or maybe even 45s. I've made 45s, I've made 35s before, so I could go anywhere as long as my weight, as long as I'm active, I can go anywhere they need me to.
Yeah, just, I mean, wild that you could even get to 135, but I guess in saying that, there does seem to be something about bare knuckle where it kind of emboldens certain guys to, like, fight in these different weight categories. Like, I mean, I guess a distinct example, like, I remember talking to Mike Richman, who had competed as low as, like, 135 in Bellator, and he was fighting for, like, 185-pound titles in BKFC. Like, it was just more of this sense of, like, oh, well, it's just, like, centric to, like, boxing, like it's more of a fight. Do you almost have that, like, is that the reason for why the multiple weight categories kind of present themselves as an option to you, or like what's the reasoning, I guess, just wanting to pursue? Yeah,
the reasoning is really it's just kind of wherever the fight, the offer comes. I really don't mind any of it. I felt really good at 55. I felt really good at 65. I just got off a reality TV show. I was supposed to be fighting boxing at 160, and they set me up at 179. Against some giant dude who was way too tall for me. But you know, for me, it's just what the contract. They said they asked if I wanted this guy at 165. I said let's go, and that's just where the ball dropped. So.
Yeah, and you were kind of touching on that last one there. Like, how did all that come about? Because it seems like the hybrid gloved boxing there with, like, Team Combat League has been popping up more and more. Like, I feel like I've seen some other bare-knuckle fighters go over there. And just cool that there's that other, you know, opportunity, that other lane for you to enter a combat sport and, you know, be that independent contractor. Like, can you talk about the overall TCL experience? Like, it seems like you're looking at maybe doing some more of that.
No, definitely not going to do any more of that. I would definitely tell everyone to sway away from Team Combat League. They are a trash promotion, but I'm not going to get too much into it, but they should pay their fighters when they promise them so much money. They should pay them. I was going to fight on a Denver card, and my management team at the time told me, hey, Team Combat League, they want you, and they're going to give you $40,000 to fight for them. And so I was all excited, and I was going to fight at 160, and I went out there, and came out to, oh wait, you're gonna fight at 179, and I was like, okay, I guess, well, I'm not gonna say no, I'm gonna fight, like, I'm a fighter, that's first and foremost. Next thing you know is they've told me, hey, you're fighting at 179, I'm gonna fight the guy, the show. I don't remember his name, but he's all, hey, you're not even the correct size for this. And I'm like, I know, I'm supposed to find 160. And they're like, well, your team, your spot, the Philadelphia team that was originally you put on, they kind of, not all of those team members passed the medical, so we canceled them and we moved you to Texas. But they don't have a team. They don't have a spot at 160 where you belong. And I was like, okay, so what's that mean? And I said, well, we're gonna send you home, and then we'll get you when the 160 spot comes about. We'll get you there, and cold turkey from there on. So I don't got too much nice stuff to say about them. Let's just put it that way. I mean, the Texas team, the coach, Boxing Bryant, dude's amazing. He's a great coach and whatnot. But other than that Texas team, I don't got too much nice things to say about Team Combat League.
Yeah, well, sorry to hear that, you know, panned out as it did. Hopefully some other glove boxing experiences can be had, perhaps in another promotion there. But it seemed like you were, you know, enjoying certain aspects of it, like the work with Lando Rosa. I mean, obviously a famous boxing coach. And it seemed like there were certain aspects of it that, you know, worked out. I mean, at the very least, it's like there is maybe a certain level of boxing transfer that can be put to this next BKFC fight, so hopefully some good takeaway from it.
Oh no, that was a lot to good take. I met a lot of great people, a lot of great fighters. I was roomed with a bunch of some of the top fighter boxers in the world, like Ryan Mittmaster, Diaz, who was one of our heavyweights when I was on the Philly team. I mean, that Philadelphia Smoke team. I'll tell you what, if all of them would have passed the physicals and the medicals, Team Combat League, the Philadelphia Smoke team had no competition. I watched all their things. The Smoke would have smoked them all. Those guys that Leonardo, Leo put on there, him and Coach Graham had set up, they had a roster full of talent. So Coach Rosa, he knows his stuff. He made us strong and had our team set up, and I think that's one of the reasons they kind of fooled around with the Philadelphia Smoke, because they wanted another team to win. I mean, that's my little prediction there, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good out of it that I got. I got made a lot of good connections, and I got a whole great training. My boxing is very, very strong now, I would say.
And just things falling into place pretty well, because as much as going on and doing a boxing TV show took away an opportunity from being on the last BKFC in Denver, like it must be satisfying to, you know, be on this one coming up then, and for the next bare knuckle fight to have panned out like that.
Yeah, it's actually super. I'm really glad and satisfied. My very first time with bare knuckle, there is not one bad thing I could say about bare knuckle championship. From Nate Shook to Dave to the cameraman to the lady who was backstage when they played the music. They were all so nice. And Ben Knuckle was so nice to me. I met my new manager, Ryan Perez. He hooked me. He reached out to me and said, hey, let me get you back on the Ben Knuckle track where you need to be. And he hooked me up and he got me on this card. So, I mean, Bare Knuckle, the whole Bare Knuckle, all the fighters even, like, dude, everybody's so cool on this side of the, so it's a different kind of world, I think, and everyone is so cool and respectful, and I love it. I'm excited to be back on. I'm hoping to sign a 3-fight deal with Bare Knuckle, Nate Shook. I'm hoping I perform another great time. I hope I get a fight this time, not just the one-hitter quitter, but show you that I can bang too, and earn myself a contract with you, so.
And it seems cool that, you know, Chris Camozzi is on this card. I saw you refer to him as your boy, and you're like, my boy Chris Camozzi getting that belt after I win. And you were talking about the card being stacked for September, and then I saw Camozzi respond, and he was saying, oh, I got you. So cool to see that facet is part of it, too.
Yeah, Chris Camozzi, he's a fight in the state of Colorado. You know, everyone knows who he is and whatnot. I've watched him in the UFC. I've watched him when he was with fighting from UFC all the way down. So it's just really cool to see him succeeding and, you know, I refer to everybody as my boy, especially if they're from Colorado. Us Colorado guys have to stick together when we go out there and fight. So me and Chris met at the last fight. His team actually took my I have a backpack, a UFC box bag, you know, we all have that. They have cornered fighters and whatnot, and they thought it was mine, and they took it, and it was full of my fight gear, so I was kind of stressing out my last fight. I was like, I'm nothing, I don't know where it's at, and they had it. So it's kind of a funny story, but he's just a cool guy, super cool dude, down to earth. I'm going to actually go on, he has a little podcast, so I'm going to go up the week of and go on that. He's got a soda that I drink a ton of. It's called Fist Soda. Though, dude, if you guys don't know what Fist Soda is, get down to your store and get some. It's some of the best healthy soda you can get. So Chris is he's a badass. He's definitely gonna get that belt, and I'm glad to be able to call him a friend and an acquaintance and whatnot, and which is gonna tear up the show, so it's gonna be a great night.
Yeah, and a lot to talk about with the next one, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on the debut a bit more. I mean, you kind of referenced it a bit there, like hoping that this next one isn't gonna be like a one hitter quitter, but in a certain sense, I would feel like that would be a pretty exemplary way to make one's debut in any kind of combat sport, just getting a finish in less than 20 seconds there at BKFC 31. Like, what were your main takeaways from that, you know, debut in the promotion and also this new sport when you went out there last October?
Yeah, so I came into Bare Knuckle, never really watched it. My last fight, I didn't know too much about it. I was getting into it to use it to help my boxing. I went to from I'm a ground guy, I love the ground, for MMA, and so I was like, I'm gonna do bare knuckle boxing. I have to focus on my boxing and get better at boxing, and I like to get in the scraps. So I was gonna take they gave me this Nolan, who, if anybody knows anything about MMA, Nolan is a good fighter in MMA. He was on like a 4-fight win streak. He fights 170, so he was bigger. He was on a tear out here in Colorado, and so I was just going out there, didn't know what was gonna happen or not, and I fell in love with it. I don't think I missed a bare knuckle event since. I've watched them all from my phone, TV, whatever, the app. I haven't missed one yet. I got my favorite fighters now. I got my fighters I don't like really, you know. Like I'm a fan now. I'm a fan. I'm an athlete in it. I enjoy it. Something new. I love the UFC, don't get me wrong. I love MMA, but man, I was getting tired of watching the same old thing, you know, and Bare Knuckle has a whole new aspect to it. There's always something different, you know, from Fame's elbowing the guy. Oh, now we gotta figure out why he grabbed the wrist to elbow in the guy at the last event. You know, it's kind of a new aspect, and it's fun to watch, and I enjoy it, and something I can see myself with doing Bare Knuckle for a long time.
Well, it seems like almost like a complete overhaul in a certain regard from where you were at heading into your first fight to where you're at with the sophomore bare knuckle boxing effort. Like, at least in terms of the awareness of the sport, like, you seem like you've got a good lay of the land now. And like you said, like, you kind of know like the relevant fighters, guys you like, guys you dislike, etc. But on like a more of like an X's and O's, like what one does in the ring or even how one prepares a camp, like, how did that change? Like, just on a technique and like preparatory level, like, how has your, I guess, knowledge and approach of the bare knuckle game changed from that first fight to where you're at now?
You know, my coach and I haven't really changed a lot. We kind of just keep building on our boxing, our footwork. I've been fighting since 2008 when I made my amateur debut, a day before my senior prom in high school. I went pro in 2011. You know, I'm part of Vanderlei Silva's fight team. That's who he's my master out in Vegas. He moved back to Brazil. I moved back to Colorado. The team separated. But that gym was known for scraps. We were known to throw scraps. And so bare knuckle is just, it falls right into place. So we're not changing a lot of my training. We're more changing, we're sharpening up. We're sharpening up the tools. That's all we're doing. We're not going to change anything. I kind of have my bad habits, and we're trying to break a little bit of bad habits and whatnot, but we feel like I can go pretty far with what I got. I know I can take a punch. I've taken punches from, you know, Vanderlei Silva, and since I've gone rounds with him to, you know, getting punched in the face by McGregor. You know, I've been his punching bag. You know, I've been around the who's a combat sports, and I've taken the punches. I've been put to my ass by them. I've been back up on my feet, so I know I can take a punch. I know I can give one, so we're not really changing too much. We're just going to keep sharpening what I have and enjoy this ride.
Yeah, and that was a good shout out, because I was noticing in my research you were like an OG member of that like Vanderlei fight team, and just such a legendary fighter, definitely an all-time favorite of mine back in the day with Pride and everything like that. So just a great training lineage overall, it seems like. But in terms of, I guess, where you're honing the skills at, like nowadays, where would you say you're, I guess, predominantly getting in your work? Like, what's, is there a primary gym that you're at? I was seeing also on, I think it was Tapology, it was Golden Fights, Cage Wars, MMA gym, more for like a wrestling centric focus. Like, where are you training at nowadays?
So I train out of, we have my own gym. It's called Golden Fights. It's just Golden Fights. Cage Wars is our show. I don't know why they put that on there. But yeah, it's called Golden Fights. Golden Fights, Golden Boy. It's my own private gym. I have a coach, a boxing coach, wrestling coach, jiu-jitsu coach. We have the whole nine yards. It's a full gym. We have amazing fighters from amateurs to pros coming out of it. The week before the fight, I have a kid named Elijah Peck. Dude's 18 years old, and he is, when Elijah goes pro, I'm going to hang it up. I don't want to get in the cage with him when he's pro. This dude is a monster, and he's an amateur right now. He's 18. When he turns 21, that's when he wants to go pro. Whoever's in his weight class at 135, better just hang it up. Just retire. This kid is too much for a lot of people. I've seen him go toe-to-toe with a guy that came in that was 18-6 pro. He went toe-to-toe with him and was piecing him up. I've seen him go with big guys. He's a monster. So I have great fighters from amateurs to pros in my gym all the time training with me. I go out to Denver, Vegas when I can. I work and own a company in Colorado at my hometown. So unfortunately, bare knuckle isn't my livelihood yet, main word yet. Hopefully I can make enough money to support myself off of it and make it my livelihood so I could train full time. But until then, I just train there full time. And then when I get a chance to go up to Denver or Vegas to train, I take off and go up there.
Yeah, appreciate that level of insights. And especially, I always like hearing like the up and coming generation kind of stories. So it's almost like the game's changed a little bit at bantamweight since you won the King of the Cage bantamweight title 10 years ago, eh?
Yeah, it's changed a lot. I mean, I have kids at the gym that are 10 years old, you know? Like, the 10-year-olds are going to be turning 18 in eight years, and they're going to be just as good as I was when I went pro. It's a whole nother deal. It's a whole nother game now. These kids are starting to train when they are little to fight, to be MMA fighters. When I started out, people are coming out of wrestling, you know. We were all wrestlers. Every other dude was, oh, I'm a state wrestler. I'm a Division I wrestler. I'm wrestling for this college, that college, whatever. Now I've been training MMA since I was 2, 3, 4 years old, you know. It's crazy.
Yeah, also quite a long ways with the training, it seems like, too, because I was seeing, like, circa 2009, it seemed like you were hitting the training pretty heavy in the parents' garage with, like, a wrestling mat and, like, a dog kennel kind of setup. So a long way from that, too.
Oh, big long way. My dad, how I got started fighting, I was wrestling, I guess, suspended, so I couldn't wrestle the last week of wrestling, and, my boss was, he's a four-time state champion out here in Colorado, and he's like, hey, how about you do this fight? And I asked my dad boxed in the Marines, he's a professional boxer in the Marines and whatnot, and he goes, no. And then somebody in my dad's family passed away, like his second cousin or something, I don't really remember, but I wasn't going to go. I had some tests for school, happened to be the same weekend they were going to the funeral, so I was a little dishonest, and okay, yeah, you guys go. I signed up and took that fight. After that, my dad knew. He found out through, you know, stories and whatnot. I broke my nose, lost my first fight and whatnot. I took the guy down, didn't even know how to tap out, and didn't know the rules. I just thought it was a fight. I had no idea. But he said, if you're going to fight, I'm going to teach you. And that's where it started. He went to Home Depot, got some pipe foam, put it around a dog kennel, 12x12 dog kennel. We took my wrestling mat, put it in there, and started training.
yeah, such a great journey. And the next chapter in that story unfurling here, coming up on the 22nd of September, I guess curious to get your thoughts on what your opponent brings to the table, both in terms of, I guess, like, some of his better stylistic attributes, but also the resume. Because in a certain regard, like, similar experiences that you've had, like, in as far as I've seen, he's competed in mixed martial arts, gloved boxing, and also bare knuckle. So just in saying all of that, like, what are your thoughts on some of the better stylistic attributes you may have seen he brings to the table, and just overall resume in combat sports?
Yeah, so I haven't really looked too much into him. I know I've seen some of his fights. I've seen him fight on the last card I was on too. Seen him walking around the hotel with his headphones on a lot. I haven't watched too much of his MMA. I'm not really a big studier. I let my coaches do that and let them tell me what to do. But I know he's strong. He's strong, hard-headed, and one thing I was looking for is someone that is willing to stand there, and we're going to get down and dirty. I keep saying, we're going to this fight, everybody keeps going to Chris Camozzi, main event, Mr. Hot. I mean, bare knuckle even. Come on, give some other fighters a shout-out, bare knuckle. Like, this fight has potential to be fight of the night. Two strong, hard-headed guys going at it. Torres he's strong as they come. He takes the fight. He doesn't care who it is. He went against the ex-UFC his last fight. He didn't go his way, which was okay, but he went in there and did his thing, you know. He don't care who you are. He doesn't care. He's not scared, and that's what I want. I want someone that's not scared and is ready to throw down, and I think this is an opponent that is ready to throw down, and we're going to steal the show. I don't say fight of the year candidate for this fight, but maybe fight of the promotion right now. We might blow the roof off the place. I feel like me and him can throw down, because you know I'm not gonna give up. He knows I'm not giving up. He's gonna have to put me out, and I know he's not gonna give up. He has a lot to prove, so I'm gonna have to put him out.
Yeah, and I noticed his last win in bare knuckle was on the same card you made your victorious debut, so maybe something gleaned from seeing him compete live, if you did in fact get to see him fight live there.
Yeah, one thing I noticed is the dude is shredded. I mean, like, goddamn, that boy is shredded. I know he ain't eating to be that shredded. I don't know what he's doing. He got some good genes, but, you know, other than that, I really don't remember his fight too much. The guy he fought is not even close to the level that I'm on. His last fight that he fought and lost, unfortunately, he's in the same boat as he was last time. He's fighting myself, who I'm a veteran of this. I mean, I've been in there with Diego Sanchez. I've been in there with Rivandale. You name the top of the top dogs. I've been in there training with them. I've been around the MMA community, the MMA game, for way too long. I just didn't get my chance to make my name as everyone else did. I just didn't get that opportunity. I wasn't blessed as others. But this is my opportunity to go out there and let people know what's up. Everyone in Colorado knows who I am. If you come into this side of the mountain of Colorado and you speak MMA, my name will come up. I'm a huge ticket seller in Colorado. And it's not because I'm a great fighter or anything. It's because I work my ass off. And so this is my time to shine. And unfortunately for him, he got a win on that last fight that I was on against a not as credible candidate as he's stepping in there with this time. But he's got his hands full, and he knows that. And I know I got my hands full, too, with the heart he has. So.
And as we're talking about, this fight has so much potential, so I don't mean this in a way that would overlook Christian Torres or say it in any kind of way, but you did kind of even touch on it a bit earlier, like talking about, like, oh, I figured out some of the fighters I like and some of them I don't like. I've been kind of gleaned off a couple of, you know, Instagram posts earlier this year. Like, it seems like there was some level of banter about a short notice Tony Soto fight in January, but it also seemed like in March around there you were indicating some interest in fighting Fames there. So it seems like you've got like a couple opponents you'd ideally like to fight, perhaps, or maybe that was just born from circumstance.
Tony Soto, he is what he is. He's a chicken shit. He so some reason his fighter backed out, and then I got this message from him and his manager and this and that, and my Facebook was lit up at like 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning, and I'm like, what the heck? I'm trying to get ready to go out on the boat. What's going on? And he's, I don't want, you want to take that fight versus me? And I was like, bro, I'm like 180. It's a week notice. This dude is 65, and I'm down. You're 168. You posted 2 days ago, so get some food in you, and we'll see you Friday at 65. And then all of a sudden, fingers started getting pointed at this guy, at that guy, at this dude. You know, it was a mess. I was like, what the heck is going on? Am I going to fight him or not? Nate said, no, they want to fight at 155 or no fight. Kind of just rattled me a little bit. Like, dude, don't call me out knowing, like, first I fought my last fight at 65. Don't think I'm on a week notice going to come fight you at 55 and, like, or even ask. Like, be like, hey, can you make 55? I would have told you, no, 65. But don't call me out. Don't call me out. And then I accept. Literally, dude, we're standing in a square. We're about to go toe to line. Is really 55, 65 that much of a difference? I'm not gonna go gain 10 pounds of muscle for you, man. I'm the same guy as I would be at 55. So stand in there and bang with me, Tony. He's doing his thing, though. He's got a lot of hype behind him right now, being 5-0, I think he is. I mean, he's fought 4 chumps and fought 1 good fight, barely made it out of that one. But, hey, dude, make your money, do your thing, and he knows it's on site, so...
Yeah, and again, to reiterate, like, not to distract too much from this next fight that looks very exciting, but just to say, I mean, you're talking about, like, long-term goals with the company and just having that longer vision, so I feel like having, like, at least a few potential prospective opponents fits nicely within that, too.
Oh, yeah, no, Tony, I mean, I'm not looking too far into the future of opponents or whatnot. People ask all the time, who would you like to fight, this and that? I mean, would I like to fight Tony? Yes. If it happens, great. If it doesn't happen... or whatever, you know, the fight was already won in messaging when he's, oh, I need to be a, I only will fight a 55, but man, if 10 pounds is what you're scared of, he can do his own thing, do your own thing. I'm not even interested in messing with someone that is that kind of guy, that 10 pounds is going to sway a craze, and it's not like I'm 7 foot tall or 6'5 or some tall giant, you know what I mean? I'm the same height as him. I probably would have had 10 pounds of more fat on me than him, that's all. You know what I mean? It wasn't a good excuse in my jitterbug. So, I mean, he is what he is. I don't hate the guy. Don't not like the guy. Would I fight him? Yes. Nate Shook sent the contract. I'll fight him at 55 next time. Just don't give me a week notice because that ain't happening. But, you know, if they gave me 8 weeks like they did this one, we could do 55 if that's what he wants. If he wants to do 45, let's go to 45, you know, I'm in, just give me enough time to make the weight, I'm down. If he wants to do it at 65 and eat and enjoy camp, dude, let's do it at 65, bro. We both know we can make 55, so why cry about 10 pounds? But whatever he wants to do, if that fight is meant to be, that fight's meant to be, and we'll go toe to the line if it's meant to be.
Yeah, absolutely, a lot of very promising options. I mean, this next fight, chief among them, obviously, the Christian Torres fight, and very much appreciate you making the time to, you know, talk before the fight, Andrew, but just being mindful of your time and schedule. I'm curious if there's any, like, parting final thought you might want to add as we're sort of wrapping things up here, though, man.
No, man, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's, you know, supporting me. I have it's been definitely a different kind of support. It's cool to see this kind of support. I've been blessed and lucky enough to have support since I started fighting in my hometown, but now I'm getting bigger support. So I just, thanks to everybody. We're going to keep this journey continuing, and I'm going on the ride and enjoying it together. And I'm just a normal dude, so I'm just out here enjoying it, you know, having fun. I like to fight. If I'm not, I don't care if it's an argument with my wife, she'll tell you, I'll argue just to argue. I like to fight, so I just enjoy it. I love this game, I love this fight game, I love the training, and without people tuning in and watching us, we won't have any of this, so just thank you to them. You know, thanks to my family first and foremost, my wife, my dad, my mom, my daughter, like, I take away a lot of time from them, a lot of money too. Shit, this stuff is expensive to have a nutritionist, the manager, the gas, the tickets. Stuff adds up. So for them to still support me and let me spend this money like I do, thank you. I don't overlook it because I don't say thank you enough, but I see it and I love you guys and, you know, I love all my fans. Hopefully I can get some, like I said before, some bigger sponsors and whatnot to help out so I could train more, not have to run my own company and have a full-time job and train more and we could go farther. But as right now, I'm just counting my blessings and we're just going to ride this ride and have fun and enjoy it.
Yeah, I love hearing that, man, and love to see that that ride's running through Denver pretty soon. Definitely excited for BKFC 50 on September 22nd there. And again, to reiterate, thanks for coming on and giving great insights ahead of the fight and looking forward to peeping it when it goes down, man. But until then, you have a good rest of your day there, Andrew.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for having me on, man. I'll see you out there. You going to be there?
I'm trying. We'll see. I'm trying to get something going. But yeah, I would like to be out there, so we'll see.
Okay, cool. Well, if I see you out there, let's grab a drink or something. If not, man, tune in. We're going to have fun, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Very excited for it. And yourself and Christian Torres always bring it. So very excited for this one. And yeah, just to reiterate, you have a good rest of your day, man. Thank you.
You too. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who competes at BKFC 50, which goes down on September the 22nd. And a very intriguing fight set to go down as Andrew Yates knuckles up and toes the line against Christian Torres. And great getting to have Christian on the show today. How's your day going there, man?
It's going really good. Just cleaned up my whole gym and getting things ready, preparing for this fight. And, you know, just tuning up and getting the mind ready.
Yeah, and it seems like you're pretty used to that, like, higher Denver altitude just with, you know, your last fight being there and returning to that environment here. Would you say you're used to the different considerations there? Like, how different is it competing in that, like, higher altitude kind of environment?
It's a little taxing on the lungs, but I have a high elevation mask, and I know after being there twice how many rounds and how much I need to have that mask on. And, you know, it's very key to work your cardio as much as you can, because that elevation is killer on the lungs. You know, so definitely putting in a lot more cardio, a lot more stairs, a lot, just moving around a lot more.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, just such a massive event last time you were on. I mean, it didn't, you know, necessarily pan out in like that rigid binary of a win or a loss, but it just seemed like such a huge, like, statement kind of show, like one of the more, like, monumental events in like the modern era of bare knuckle, certainly. Like, what was it like being a part of, you know, just the event, thoughts on the fight? Like, what were the takeaways from BKFC 41 there in April?
Takeaway was patience. You know, I literally threw my game plan out the window and, you know, tried to go in on the guy, and instead, because, you know, the butterflies were going, the excitement was there, and, you know, I wanted to make an exciting fight, and, you know, and instead of me being smart and sticking to the game plan, I just kind of threw everything out the window. So, you know, just learning how to be more patient, learning to stay in the pocket, keep my hands up, and just being, you know, better all around, having all those people around me, especially all those professionals, and seeing how they acted, win or losing, you know. It definitely was a step up in maturity level for fighting-wise, especially for myself. I took the loss very, very, very hard. You know, I trained very hard for that fight, and nothing to take away from Brandon. He's a great fighter, man, but it's like, you know, I'm putting in work, and, you know, some things are just frustrating. But, you know, hopefully with the work I'm putting in now, things will change, you know?
Yeah, well, it seems like you're very focused on, you know, refining what you're doing, and you do have, you know, pretty pronounced experience in, you know, bare knuckle for a little bit now, and everything from what I've been able to tell. So, I mean, it seems like that learning curve has been, like, a big thing throughout, you know, the bare knuckle thread since you made that debut there in November 2021. Like, what would you say some of the bigger areas of improvement in your bare knuckle game are, either on, like, a fight IQ level or, like, a physical technique level?
The takeaway from bare knuckle is, man, you gotta pick your shots and definitely make sure your hands are up. It's totally different, especially with, like, the first time when I got hit in my first fight against Driscoll. You know, my takeaway from that was just, you know, holy shit, like, this is, excuse my language, this is totally different. So, you know, I had to get in there and get out real quick. So it's like, you know, your game has to be on point. Your offensive and defensive have to be together, because you cannot stand in the pocket like in boxing, where you can stand and throw 8 or 9 shots and then you can come out. Here you got to throw 1 or 2, 3 shots and then whoop, get out of there as quickly as possible. So it's fast paced, you know, feet have to be moving, hands have to be moving, head have to be moving all at the same time. And just, you know, to take away from it, it's just do the hitting and not getting hit.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And it seems like, you know, in mentioning the, you know, cumulative experience and how you've been doing it for a little bit, it seems like you have been, you know, able to get those big show experiences. Like we mentioned the last fight, but also being on, you know, Knuckle Mania 3, like the big tent pole event. And you have been on some big events. I would think that that would benefit your overall game to a certain extent too. Just like feeling maybe particular pressure from a magnitude of a certain event and kind of being under those bright lights. Is that something you share as well? Is that a fair characterization?
I have to say being on those two events definitely helped my mental, because being around thousands and thousands and thousands of people, I mean, for my first few fights, you know, there was a few hundreds of people there, but these two events were humongous, especially in both of the towns. They came out, they showed out for their fighters. So, you know, it was different entering enemy territory and, you know, knowing that thousands of people I'm going to hear not like me. So it's like, it's different. Plus, you know, stepping up game-wise in the fight game, you're stepping up to, you know, Jackson Wink Camp. They have a bunch of great fighters. They have great coaches there. You know, it's just me. I have no coaching. It's just me doing my own thing, coaching myself, and having a bunch of guys trying to help me. So it's, you know, it's just stepping up to the plate, man. It's like I tell people, no one remembers anybody who doesn't take a risk. And if you're not willing to take those risks, somebody will. So they send me whoever, I sign the contract, and we get it on. That's how it goes.
That is kind of interesting to hear that, though, because in doing some research on you, I was trying to figure out, like, specific information on a camp you might be affiliated with, and it didn't seem like anything terribly recent, like as far as like a specific Seoul gym. So interesting to hear that you've been kind of curating your own camps for bare knuckle. Like, who would you say you're mostly like working with to get you ready for these different BKFC fights?
I've been alone, because in New York State, I work with, I don't know if you remember, in my first or second bare knuckle fight, there was another fighter named Gabe the Machete Ciacci, or Cinchetti. He's another bare knuckle fighter that's from New York. I've been going up to his camp every once a week and getting sparring in with his guys and having at least, you know, somebody who has bare knuckle experience that's around me, being able to travel there and do that. I also want to thank also Binghamton Martial Arts. There's another guy named Evan Henderson. I call him the walking zombie, because this guy, you can hit him with whatever you want, and he just keeps coming forward, keeps putting pressure on you. So, you know, I got a few guys that do help me, but most of the time it's just me, you know, thinking of stuff, trying to work things in, trying to see what's going to work and what's not going to work, coming up with different kind of game plans. And also Isaac Doolittle and Jessica Wink. Those two, even if when they're in Kansas, they message me, they send me videos of stuff to work on. Those two definitely are another reason I don't mind going out to Colorado, because Jessica always comes out to help me in my corner. So she's always there knowing what's going on, knowing what I'm working on. So, I mean, I have a bunch of people that do help, and it sucks that we're so distantly far away, but you know, they do message me and they have a little bit of say of what's going on in my camps. Most of the time, it's just literally me just trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, there has been a certain amount of bare knuckle action in New York. I mean, not like as of super recently, but I mean, I'm kind of curious, like, do you feel like this current system is almost working out? Like, is there a level of like, oh, it could be good to like move to like an area like maybe Florida, or an area that would seem like state-wise more of like a hotbed for bare knuckle? Like, do you think this?
I've been thinking about moving, or maybe just taking like a month or two off from work and just going out to different camps and trying different stuff. You know, I also have kids here, so it's kind of hard. I have a 6-year-old son and a 12-year-old daughter, so it's hard to move around and be able to do stuff and save up money and here and there, because a lot of stuff comes around very fast. But I would love to, you know, go train with certain people You know, I'd love to go train with Kevin Smith down there. Britton Hart is definitely somebody at KO Zone. I'd love to work with her people. She has great coaching with her. Like I said, Isaac Doolittle, Jessica Lange, those are two people that I would love to go down to Kansas and get work with. But, you know, it's hard. You know, I'm by myself doing my own thing, and it's hard to figure stuff out when, you know, everything's going on. Life is happening, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. I get what you're saying, but kind of interesting, like the sort of age of your kids you mentioned it at, just in the sense of sometimes I talk to fighters and their kids are almost like at an age where they can't really like fully comprehend like what, you know, their parent is getting up to, but it would seem like your kids are very acutely aware of what you get up to with the combat sports efforts. Like, what are their thoughts on the fact that...
He's been training with me since he was 6 years old. He's 16 now. He's a wrestler. He's probably going to be a state champion this year, hopefully, if he's putting in the work right now like I told him to. You know, he comes and trains with me. He's a smart kid. The thing with people, when I tell them all the time, is if you have kids, get them into jiu-jitsu. Get them into kickboxing. Get them into striking. Get them into something that's going to humble them, because, believe me, later down the road, it helps out a lot. And like I said, my son is a very humble kid. He's very quiet, but he knows that when it's time to push that go button, it's go time.
So is he looking to... Is he like training at like more for what you were talking about, to serve that master of kind of being humble and having that like perspective and discipline, or do you think he wants to compete one day?
I eventually probably see him competing one day. He's definitely takes after me. He like I said, he loves to lift. He's constantly working in the gym. He's doing his wrestling all the time. So I could see him definitely transferring over to MMA or doing, you know, something striking wise, because he, even when he's here, I tell him to do his wrestling. He's like, nope, I want to do some stand up with you. So he'll stand up and bang with people. He doesn't mind it at all. It's very, very, very fun to watch. You know, you see your kid there and you're like, damn, man, I can't wait till this kid's 18, 19 years old and he's, yeah, let's do this, because it's on.
Maybe it'll be like how, like...
And not so much of a warrior. She's more of a bookworm.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe it could be like what Bellator did when, like, AJ and Antonio McKee fought on, like, the same card. Maybe you and your son can have, like, fights on a BKFC card.
That would be awesome. That would be cool. But, you know, the biggest thing, though, is that just I'm trying to get this win. It's nothing against Yates. I have nothing against him. I met him last time when I was there. Cool guy, very, very humble dude, but nothing against him, but I need to get this dub, so that's on my mind.
Yeah, and I mean, definitely on the same wavelength I am, because I wanted to get some insights into, like, what you think about your opponent, because, like, he does have a pretty succinct bare-knuckle debut. I mean, he had that finish at BKFC 31 and got that win over...
I watched it. The guy he went against literally, you know, didn't move his head, threw two soft ass jabs and didn't do nothing. So, you know, really didn't get to see anything from him. I mean, I saw that he has, you know, I guess good head movement. He blocked that nice shot and then came back with a good counter. So, you know, I got to watch out for those. But beyond that, man, pretty much we dogfighting. It's going to be a dogfight. One of us is going out. So, you know, I'm hoping fighting tonight, because I'm coming to bring it, and I hope he does the same. And like I said, nothing against Yates. I think he's a very humble dude and, you know, very stand-up guy like I met last time. But sorry, I got to get this dub.
Yeah, and you both competed on that aforementioned BKFC 31 event. I would think that when you were talking about seeing his fight, you meant in, like, the live event context, or were you...
I saw it live, and then I saw it, right, I watched it a few weeks ago, you know, so I seen it, and like I said, you know, the guy that he went against, I feel, you know, wasn't on his level. I feel like me and Yates are on a different level than that guy was, and I feel like me and him are going to show out, and it's going to be a good fight. And I just gotta, like I said, make it a dirty, nasty, disgusting dogfight.
Yeah, very intriguing matchup in a lot of regards, for sure. And as much as we've talked about, you know, the learning curve specifically within bare knuckle and how ultimately it's its own unique combat sport, I guess I'm just curious to get some insights from you, because from what I can tell, at least per some of the aggregators there, it looks like you have around a dozen or so MMA fights over AMI and pro, as well as gloved boxing experience. Like, how much, I guess, crossover elements from those prior combat sports have you utilized in bare knuckle, as much as it's its own unique combat sport, ultimately?
A lot more, I'd have to say, Muay Thai stance-wise. I use a high guard, so my elbows are more in. Besides that, you know, boxing really, even just the plain boxing, sometimes you get, like, the Muay Thai clinching is definitely another thing that transfers over, because as long as I have one hand clinched in the back of your head and I'm punching, I can keep going. So a lot of Muay Thai form, I would say, transfers over, and definitely counters from boxing transfer over. That's a most definite. You know, if you keep a high tight guard and you are able to catch punches with your hands and stuff, you're able to counter real good. So, you know, I'd say that footwork-wise, boxing definitely helps. And if you got a wrestling, wrestling's good for that high explosive getting in and getting, you know, if I'm going for a low punch, I come up quick. Level changing with wrestling is definitely something that definitely transfers over. I mean, look at Kai Stewart. Guy's a wrestler, and his level changes are down, low, up, down, up, down, up, down. So, I mean, that constant level changing and doing that, motions, feet changing, all that stuff, that definitely transfers. So, I mean, during that, beyond that, though, I mean, like I said, bare knuckle's a different sport. Sometimes you gotta throw them soft jabs and back out real quick. Like I said, you can't sit there in boxing where you can throw 8 or 9 shots in the pocket. You gotta sit there and throw 2 or 3 shots and get out and then come back in again because the guy might be readjusting. So there's so much that goes on in that 2 minutes that people don't understand, that it's fast, but if you have a high ring IQ, you're definitely doing different things in that 2 minutes, and it feels like a lifetime.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good way to articulate it there. And I really appreciate the insights and just making a bit of time before this upcoming fight, Christian, but just being mindful of your schedule overall. Just curious if maybe there's like a parting final thought you'd want to add as we're sort of wrapping up, though.
I mean, my parting thought is, I just, like I said, I'm coming to bring it. I hope he does the same. I'm trying to fight of the night, but I just hope to get out there quick and do a thing real quick. But beyond that, I just want to thank sponsors. I want to thank Binghamton Martial Arts. I want to thank Blended Body Works and Therapeutic Massages. I want to thank Takeoff, Raccoonic, guys that just are, you know, a regular at my job. George, he literally is sponsoring me and doesn't even have a logo. He's just like, hey, man, I just want to, you know, help you out. So, you know, I got a good support system here, and I just hope he's ready, because I am.